After a brief tenure as a political science instructor at then Marshall College, Ken Heckler claimed the Democratic Party's nomination for West Virginia's 4th congressional district seat in 1958. Heckler ousted Republican incumbent Will Neal by 3,500 votes. Congressman-elect Heckler discussed his political views on WSAZ-TV weeks before taking office in Washington.
I don't think it's possible for an individual to go into a legislative body and expect to get 100% of what he believes in or even what his district believes in.
I had been taught in graduate school how all legislation in Congress is compromise, and that's what I used to say when I was teaching, but when I got to Congress, I discovered that the word compromise is frequently used as an umbrella to try to weaken and drive loopholes into otherwise good legislation.
And good legislation has been asphyxiated. Legislation that a majority of the Congress wants in the fields of housing, education, and labor reform.
Heckler joined then-Representative George McGovern of South Dakota and other members of the House to address common concerns and achieve mutual goals. McGovern had high praise for Heckler's listening skills.
When you talk to Ken Heckler, he looks at you and kind of looks at you, and he nods a little and listens to you. You have the feeling every word you say he's digesting and that he's going to think about that. And I've always thought that was an advantageous eccentricity of Ken.
Heckler was known for working across the aisle, earning praise from prominent Republicans like Senator Bob Dole of Kansas.
He was everywhere. I mean, he was in the front row, the back row, always buttonholing somebody and always talking about something for West Virginia or his constituents. I've been in politics all my life, and I've never seen anything like it.
One of the greatest challenges that a member of Congress faces is to try to ascertain the public interest and not the interest of a single group, and then to fight for that interest.
Fellow Democrats Congressman James Symington of Missouri and U.S. Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa also served alongside Heckler in the House of Representatives.
He was constantly surprising and refreshing. If you can't stand to be in the pit with people, then you're not a politician. Ken enjoyed the give and take.
And he had a great way of eliciting a laugh, because he'd be probing and asking questions, and all of a sudden you realized he was getting to a point that he wanted to make that was kind of funny.
How can you possibly expect us in Congress to authorize over $4 million when you haven't even yet selected the state in which you're going to establish this site?
That's a good point.
Nothing seemed to shake his confidence or his cheerfulness. Most of us have sort of ups and downs. I've never seen any downs on Ken's side. It's all ups. But it's infectious, and it's genuine. And that's what people can spot.
He has the three I's: imagination, intelligence, integrity. He's a man of great imagination. He's a man of high intelligence. And thirdly, he has absolute bedrock integrity.
Congressman Ken Heckler, a delegate to this convention, has been perhaps one of the most outspoken of the West Virginians on the Vietnam War situation. You are unalterably opposed, really, aren't you, Congressman?
I certainly am, Boz, and I certainly hope that...
Initially, I supported American efforts in Vietnam, but I was asked here at Marshall to talk with a group of foreign students. They kept interrupting me by saying, now let's talk about Vietnam. What right do you have to be supporting our military effort over there? And I found it increasingly difficult to answer that question because it was essentially a civil war.
Norm Williams served on Heckler's staff in the 1970s.
I think he represented the conscience of the people acting on Congress. And he had any number of ways that he thought of in which he would try to dramatize what those issues were and try to prod his colleagues into doing the right thing.
Former state senator and Huntington mayor Bobby Nelson served as Heckler's assistant from 1960 to 1970.
He established clearly that there was someone in Washington representing West Virginia, particularly this area, that you could always write or contact and you could be certain of getting an answer. He had a rule in his office, a letter from a constituent had to be acknowledged or answered the same day it came in.
And the letters and other papers piled up. When he was West Virginia's Secretary of State, his small desk near the door of the suite of offices at the state capitol was piled high with paper. His office in Washington was the same way. Former state chair of the Republican Party, David Tyson, served as an intern in Heckler's office in 1972 and 1973.
The only thing bad I can say about the office is his desk was always a mess. But if you would ask him where something was, he would pull it from the stack and he knew exactly where it was.
Here's this stack, I'd say at least 6 feet high. Walks over to it, reaches in and pulls out a sheet of paper. I thought that was phenomenal. That somehow, amidst all the clutter, he's able to get the essence.
United Mine Workers of America President Cecil Roberts.
Coal miners used to joke about how messy Ken's office was, but it was because it was the people's office. And they used Ken's office to operate out of when they were lobbying for the black lung benefits and mine health and safety. Not only was he speaking out for them, but he was like letting them use his office and they'd go in there and try to feed them when they come in there or take them to lunch or whatever.
Heckler could be called the people's politician. Former intern David Tyson recalls how Heckler took constituent services very seriously.
I could see when somebody called and said, you know, I can't feed my family, I'm having a hard time, I need to get my black lung benefits or I need to get my Social Security, how he would jump on it. Frequently, he was on the other end of the telephone, personally working on the problem, and he liked doing that. That's what he's all about.
He was deeply committed. I mean, there's no question at all that he was deeply touched by the conditions that he saw people living in and the fact that they were trapped more often than not, that they had no way out.
Tom Miller served as a reporter with the Huntington Advertiser from 1958 to 1967.
We heard stories at the newspaper all during his time in Congress about how he would be the one who would show up in the farthest corner of Wayne County where some family had been trying for months unsuccessfully to get a Social Security check approved and start getting their Social Security. And he would not only take care of it for them, he would be the one to hand deliver that first check to them. And he had them and everybody in their neighborhood to vote for him for the rest of his life.
Former Marshall University political science professor Troy Stewart and former WSAZ-TV news director Boz Johnson remember a story about a lady and a cookbook. They say the story illustrates how Ken Heckler felt about responding quickly to a constituent's request.
There are stories, perhaps apocryphal, about how good he was. There's one where this lady wrote him a letter asking for a book of recipes from the Department of Agriculture.
A woman working in downtown Huntington finished her work in the afternoon, 5 o'clock, whenever it was, and went over and dropped into the mailbox of the old post office, which is on Fifth Avenue, a request for a cookbook. Now, it just so happened that within minutes of that, postal people cleaned out that inbox, and the congressman's mailbox was right close by, and they just shuttled over to his mailbox the request.
Well, he's in the district, so he goes in, he gets the letter out. Well, he looks at it, and this lady wants this cookbook. Well, he happens to have one out in the Jeep.
He had a stack of them in the back of the red Jeep. So he drove to the west end of Huntington to the woman's address.
So he takes off, goes out to her address out in Wayne County, and is standing on her porch when she gets back from mailing the letter asking for the cookbook.
She, meanwhile, gets on a bus and goes home for the evening. She gets inside, closes the door. Heckler walks up, knocks on the door. She opens it, and he says, "I'm your servant in Congress, Ken Heckler. Here's your cookbook."
He practiced what he preached. He truly represented all the people in his district and tried to meet every one of them, I think.
He was a master public relations person, really, as much as he was a congressman. Every time he was in from Washington, he would make the rounds of the television stations and the newspapers and offer them stories they couldn't refuse.
If you want to get something in the paper, you go and try to get it in on Sunday because they don't have anything for Monday. Nothing's happening on Sunday. Everybody's going to church. They've gone out to dinner. Now they're sitting around reading the paper and taking it easy. So he would come in and beat out a little story on a typewriter and hand it to us.
In 2005, the former professor and public servant described his role in Congress as largely that of an educator.
When you come right down to it, a good deal of the work and focus of a congressman is educating the voters to decide what is the best and just thing to do, and then to continue to educate your constituents to support those aims of justice.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.